It's your turn to be afraid.
Are you a fan of things that go bump in the night? Chills up your spine, paralyzed by fright. Thrilled by horror at the center of a chat. Then welcome to the Nerds from the Crypt podcast.
Thank you for joining us here on Nerds from the Crypt, where we interview indie creators about their upcoming and ongoing horror projects. Please let us know if you're enjoying our content, and let us know if you are an indie creator that would like to come on to the podcast to talk about your horror projects. You can email us at nerdsftc@gmail.com, but we will reply faster if you contact us through social media. Just search at nerdsftc on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, and X. Please remember to subscribe so you can keep up with the podcast and the new episodes that are coming out, hopefully every 2 to 3 weeks. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Carissa Grant as we talk about her Kickstarter campaign for Worthy Chaos Redemption. The fate of heaven, hell, and the entire cosmos hangs in the balance. Seraphina, a descendant of angels, and demon descendant Draven must unearth their forgotten powers, unlock secrets of their past lives, and rewrite the eternal conflict between angels and demons. Please listen to the whole episode to find out the unique way that this comic started and how it was written, and as well as how you can go ahead and get the new issues of Worthy Chaos. Now let's go ahead and jump into our conversation with Carissa.
Good. I'm good. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for taking the time to come on, and thank you for reaching out and allowing us to take a look at your project.
Yeah, I try to, you know, find a lot of podcasts, but a lot of times they don't answer back, so I appreciate you answering back.
Oh, no, my pleasure. And so let's go ahead and just get to know you real quick here, and that way our listeners can get a feel for who Carissa is. Can you give us whatever you want to provide as far as your background?
Sure. So I actually started after playing the game Resident Evil 2. All I saw was this crocodile on the commercial for it, reach out to get Leon. And for whatever reason, I went out and bought PlayStation 1 to rent this game and play it. I don't know what it was about that crocodile, but apparently I loved it. So I played the game and then, you know, I got obsessed with it, and I learned about role-playing online, not like tabletop, but actually like writing out characters and stuff. So when I learned about that, they said, you could be any character you want to be. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be Claire Redfield. So I started writing as Claire Redfield. I'm dyslexic. And so I started as a one-liner. So it was very slow. And I probably did one-lining for like 2 years, just pretending to be Claire Redfield. And on, I think it was like MySpace back then. And loved it. And then after that, I kind of progressed to do like more para and stuff. And then eventually I was doing 1,000 words, you know, per reply. And I did that for about 15 years. And then I had this idea for an angelic weapon. And I held on to it for 11 years until I met my co-writer. And when I met her the second day, I was like, hey, you wanna RP the story that I've been holding on to for 11 years? And my co-writer was like, yep. So we started writing and we got so obsessed, and we wrote this story. And it wasn't until I realized that there was like 10 novels written for the story, and I was like, we should probably do something with it. So it wound up being that 5 of those novels is Redemption, which is this current series. And the other 5 is a spinoff that we had written as halfway as a joke, and it turned out to be an epic event. So it wasn't planned. So unplanned, we now currently have 50 issues already written for this series and 45 wow, written for the spinoff. So the 50 completes this series 1. I broke it up into 5 books. So issues 1 through 7 is book 1. And currently it's issue 7 that is up for on Kickstarter. And it is 38 pages, glossy 80-pound pages. So this is not a light book. It's still the same price as all the other ones. And I just very much am obsessed with the story. And what makes our story a little bit unique is because we are role players, the two main characters are written by two completely different characters. So Serafina, the angel descendant, is what I write all of her stuff, her thoughts and actions and all that stuff. And my co-writer writes all of Draven's stuff. So when you're reading the comic book and you see the two people talking, they're two totally different people. It gives them two unique personalities, which is a little bit different than most people. Because even if there are co-writers, they don't usually, you know, take off and just write for that one character.
Yeah.
So we have that uniqueness there. Wasn't intentional. Everyone's like, oh, it's a dream to write comic books. It's like, I've liked comic books in the 90s, but I never once in a million years thought that I would write them. But now that I'm doing it, I feel like I was supposed to, and I absolutely love it. So
I was going to ask you if the role playing came into play with the writing and or how it affected the way you wrote the comic.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people. I get teased a lot, a friendly tease. That I have 50 issues, that this is a 50 issue series already written. And I just started 9 months ago, 10 months ago. Actually, this is by the time this Kickstarter ends, it'll be 1 year. So Halloween is our 1 year in comics. The story nice. Took us 2 years to write. We're still writing it. We're on slight hiatus because my co-writer has a broken hand.
Oh, no.
Which is killing us because it's withdrawal from writing. So I'm actually writing a little issue zero that kind of explains what happened right before this issue that kind of created the events in the issues. Because in this story, do you mind if I explain the beginning a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So in the beginning of this, and for anyone that doesn't know, it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets Supernatural in Silent Hill with Resident Evil and Good Omens thrown in there. And how it starts is the two of them met as teenagers. They had an instant connection and they actually have lived past lives together, but they aren't aware of that. We kind of know that. And they were supposed to run away that night away from their abusive parents. So that was the goal. Draven was on his way to the house and Serafina heard something, went down the stairs, and found out that her demon-possessed brother was murdering her parents. So she tried to run away from him. She got critically injured, called Draven, told him not to come to the house, and jumped out the back window to try to get to Draven. Draven, of course, went straight to the house to try to save her. He goes through the front door. He slips on her blood and calls her name. She turns around to go back, and she gets hit by a car. So the car takes it to another city with no ID. She's in a coma for months and Draven's arrested for the murder of the family. And, so for 10 years, they each thought the other one was dead. And in that time, she trained as a supernatural hunter to get revenge on her brother. And he trained as an assassin instead of getting to go to jail. It was like, you can be an assassin for the military, or you can go to jail. So 10 years has gone by and now, due to unforeseen circumstances, they are met up again on purpose by angels and demons, and they are trapped in a town that the demons have merged with hell. So now they're trapped in this town with hellhounds and zombies and zombie mermen and Anubis and ghosts and anything you could think of, our version of vampires. So now it's a survival. And what they don't know is, and again, we know, is that their fathers are after them. His father is a demon and her father is an angel. And they're after her because she was created from an angelic weapon that has the power of souls. And if either the demon or the angel can get a hold of it, they can tip the war between heaven and hell in their favor. Her father wants it for another reason, which he hints at, but he's using the war as an excuse to get the weapon. So it's kind of a survival horror. Or if you want to look at the relationship between them, it's kind of like Romeo and Juliet in hell, I suppose.
So I'm going to actually go back a little bit here and ask you, you kind of already told us how you got into this. Is the Resident Evil also the way you got into the genre as far as like, because, you know, the horror part, or did you like horror a little bit before?
I actually have always liked horror. I actually saw my first horror movie was Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, when I was six. So I had been hiding on the stairs, and I watched the scene with the heroin dealer where he's, like, using him like a marionette puppet. I thought I was fascinated by it. I thought it was the most interesting thing I'd ever seen. The second horror movie I saw was not as fascinating. Well, it was at first. It was Cujo. And then when I went to the park, like, the next week, and there's, like, a bloody running around, like, muddy, wet St. Bernard running around, I was not as thrilled about the movie. And promptly left the park. but ironically, I've worked with dogs my whole life as both a dog trainer, pet sitter, groomer, vet tech. So apparently it didn't scar me for life. But at the time, you know, this giant, muddy, disgusting-looking St. Bernard scared the hell out of me. So, but yeah, I've always looked for her. And there's a lot of Easter eggs in our... there's at least one Easter egg per issue. We have... the very first one is the crocodile in the sewer, which is a callback to Resident Evil 2.
I was going to ask you, and I go, oh, okay.
Yeah. And then the second issue is the typewriter that you save on in Resident Evil. And then it goes on from there. It's mostly horror movie tropes, generally classic ones, like this Nightmare on Elm Street, of course. And then there's one from Saw, I think, in book two. I don't tell everyone what they are because we are going to have a contest that the hardcover is coming out, the trade. It's 230 pages. And once it's released, whoever can post all of the Easter eggs first, they get a 3D statue of Anubis. It's a slight contest coming on. We do have like little things in the background that people probably won't even notice unless they read it more than once. Like, for example, we kind of made fun of, do you know when you watch a movie and the actor or whatever, they're the characters, need to find out information and then they turn on the TV and instantaneously the news tells you exactly what you need to hear?
Yeah.
So we made fun of that. And when she turns on the TV, it instantly tells her what she needs to know. However, if you're looking at the back of the TV, it's actually unplugged. And it's the angel in the window manipulating the TV so that she will go to this town and get trapped there. Which is, he hints to it at the next page where he's like, you're going there anyway. And she's like, how do you know where I'm going? So we have like little details like that. So, yeah.
And you already mentioned that you had already had like 50 issues.
50 issues for this series and 45 for another one and 5 for other ones. So just for... Worthy Chaos Redemption, which, by the way, if anyone wants to find us anytime, just search Kickstarter, Worthy Chaos. We pop up right away. We're the only ones. Worthy Chaos Redemption is 50 issues to complete Series 1. And we are working on a Series 2, which is like a different... It's them. It's a continued story, but it's a totally different like kind of plot thing going on. Anthology? It's 50 issues. Huh?
Like an anthology?
Yeah. Yeah. It's them, but, you know, the end of the 50 issues concludes... and then something happens to kind of screw them over again. And they're stuck trying to find something else. So they're two different, you know, but obviously you would want to read all of it, but, just like the books are all connected. Book one is 7 issues. Book two is 7 issues. Book three is, 10 issues because it's Resident Evil, 2 and 3 put together. So you got them like trapped in a, you know, zombie infested city. And so I got kind of carried away in that story. And then 4 and 5 are around 12 to 15 issues each. So that's quite a bit. But they're all connected. They're just different sections. Like book 1 is pretty much the Silent Hill where they're trapped here and they're trying to get out. And then in book 2, they're trapped in a haunted asylum where there's giant salamanders roaming around. Kind of like our homage to Lickers from Resident Evil 2. And you have ghosts and zombies. Once they get out of the asylum, and then they get trapped in the city. And then the city, after the 10 issues, they get trapped on an island. So they're all different environments, but they're all connected. So.
Okay, so you alluded to your co-writer. Do you want to go ahead and give him a shout out to everyone who is helping with the comic? Sure.
So, Jessica Littoral, is my co-writer. She is a way better writer than I am. She'll say the same about me. So there's that. she's absolutely amazing, and I'm very lucky to have her. This wouldn't be done. Like, she always says it wouldn't be done without me. It was my idea, and I'm the lead writer where I kind of lead the story. But we come up with ideas, and you know, together we work out, you know, plot lines and stuff. We don't usually know what we're writing when we write it, but we build off of each other. The artist is Jonas DaCosta, who is absolutely phenomenal. I found him. So my very first artist kind of screwed me over. He stole $3,000 from me, and then I lost another $2,000 trying to fix it, and instead just threw it away. So I have an issue one with that artist, and I printed out like 35 of them. So like, there's like rarely any of those. So when I was searching for a new artist, I was so mad that I was just tired because I'd searched for months for an artist and spent thousands of dollars for artists. And so I posted, if anyone wants to do a free page, that if you get hired, it's a 50 issue series, you know, I'll pay you for the page, blah, blah. So I didn't think anyone would do it because you always hear, oh, it's choosing better, but you know, choosing beggar or whatever. And I wasn't trying to be that. I was just tired. Mm-hmm. So I had posted chapter, and I figured no one would write back. I had 5 people doing free page. But during them doing it, Jonas DaCosta wrote to me and said, are you taking any more submissions? And I said, well, I'll make a deal with you. If you do one now, I'll look at it before everybody else's, you know, I'll look at it right away. Or if you wait till those 5 people are done, if I don't choose one, then I'll pay you for a page. You have a choice. So he said, I'll do a free one. In less than 24 hours, he pencil inked and colored 5 panels and lettered 5 panels. And the page was phenomenal. It was, I paid the other ones to go away, and I just hired him. So he is absolutely phenomenal. All the panel work is him. Like, I tell him, at first we kind of butt heads. He's not difficult to work with. Apparently I am. But I had written out like, you know, 6 or 7 panels, which is the general amount. And he would turn them into like more panels because he's very action oriented. Now, I didn't know what I was doing. He didn't know. This was his first paid job, so he didn't know what he was doing either. So we kind of butt heads. And then I realized my husband, so much so, he's like, you're going to get stressed. You need to hire a different artist. Like, nope, he's the artist. I know it. I just have to make this work. So what I wound up doing was cutting the panels back. So instead of using 6, I would use 3 to 4. And it worked out so much better because he turns those 3 to 4 into, you know, these gorgeous, you know, 9 panels if he needs to do action and all that stuff. So it worked out way better. And even he said it, he goes, this is a lot easier. He picks the panel shape and size and angles. I don't even have to try that hard. So, he's perfect. So yeah, that's us as a team. And then, a couple of other people have worked on it. Lori, Catella, who does Path of the Pale Rider. She's our script consultant. She's awesome because she not only, you know, knows the characters because she reads the comic, but when she helps edit it, she knows how they talk. So she doesn't have to be like, is this how he sounds? And yes, that's how he sounds. And my brother is also an editor on it. He's the one that got me into comics into the 90s with Ghost Rider and Batman. And then we have, believe it or not, we have a song written for the story, Permissible Indulgence, which you can find on Spotify and YouTube, and I'll send you a link if you want to post them. They actually wrote our song. They did the lyrics, they did the music, they did the everything, and it's an amazing song. So if you play the song, whoever plays the video on the Kickstarter, the background music is the background of the song that they wrote.
Okay.
So the lyrics are also posted on the page, and you can get their download in the add-ons for $3. You get both the instrumental and the vocal version. And it's an awesome song. It's based on our characters. You can hear it in the lyrics. It's about them, and it's great. And we have another one. They're going to do one per book. So they're working on a new one that should be done in January for book 2. And we're excited for that because not a lot of people get their own soundtrack, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, that was not something I had ever heard of until I started doing the podcast with interviews for the comic books. And one of my first interviews was with a creator called Casey Boker. And he, what's it called? He actually has two series where he hired somebody to do like a soundtrack for the for the comic book. And I'm like, wow, I've never even thought of that, never even heard of that as an idea.
Yeah, it's, I didn't even think about it. It was like a last minute thing where I was like, it would so be cool to have, it was like a joke. I was like, it'd be so cool to have a song. And it is. And it's such a good song. You know, very upbeat and everything. I think the next song is going to be about zombies, which technically should be book three, but I was too excited and they were like zombies. And I was like, okay. So we do have zombies in book two also. We have three different forms of zombies for anyone that's curious, because I got asked that in an interview. They're like, what kind of zombies? And I was like, the undead kind. But then I was like, oh, well, yeah, that could be different kinds. So in book one, they're the Dawn of the Dead kind, where they come up from hell because the town is merging with hell. And I think in those stories, it was biblical, and it was like, when hell is full, they'll come back, you know, they'll come through. Mm-hmm. So they're from hell. Book two, they're actually technically not zombies, but they are at the same time. They're reanimated bodies, but they're reanimated by ghosts. Something happened at the asylum and all of the patients, were murdered or killed each other. And there's a lot that happened. And so the whole place is haunted by all these patients. And so they are the ones that possess all the bodies. And then in book three, it's the virus kind, because it's Resident Evil. And the virus is specifically made, which I can't say because I'll get yelled at for spoiling it. But it's specifically made. And so it's a virus just like those. And we do have one or two smart, quote unquote, smart zombies in there. We don't really have like the running kind. Like someone asked, like, do you have the running kind? Some of them run, but not like, you know, 28 days later.
Yeah, yeah.
Scary stuff there. Yeah, I don't want any running zombies. So,
no, I think it's good to change it up and have different types of. Normally I would say monsters, but yeah, these I would say they're zombies.
Yeah, well, we do have like most of our monsters, angels and demons and everything. They follow mythology or scripture, or whatever they're, you know, familiar with. The one we change the most, we have a subspecies of vampires in issues 4 through 6 called Clodders. And what they are about is they're actually incredibly ruthless. So from the story of the history of them, a regular vampire had a mutation where their heart beat every 6 hours. And it was just enough to keep off rigor mortis. And it made their blood clotted and stronger. And the only problem is that they needed more protein to feed on. So they couldn't go from a blood bag. They couldn't get it from an animal. They had to directly get it from a human. And because of this, it made them, there's only one way for the species to survive, because these subspecies of vampires, they have their soul. So to feed directly on a human, it's either that or you decompose like a zombie. So some people had their souls and they didn't want to feed another human. So to make the species survive, he would only turn the most ruthless sociopaths, murderers, anyone that was brutal enough to just not care about killing. So they became so much more brutal than regular vampires that generally stayed away from hunters and stayed away from, you know, getting caught or whatever. So not only that, if they bite you or taste your blood, they can track you anywhere you go. And if you kill one of them, the entire nest can then track you and follow you, and they won't stop until they get revenge on you. And you don't have to invite them in. They don't mind the sun. They don't usually go in the sun, but it doesn't hurt them. They don't sparkle. I get asked that a lot. No. so they don't sparkle at all. But when there's revenge, they will go out into the sun and not care about it. Also, garlic doesn't work, because I don't know why anyone would use garlic. And you can't really stake them in the heart. So the only way to really kill them is fire, which takes too long. So the best way to kill them is decapitation. And a lot of that is, you know, we came up with that because of the mythology of it. But it kind of bugged me. So it came from a logical point stance for me, even though it really isn't logical because it's mythology. But it always bugged me that vampires would bleed. Like in every horror movie, they always bled. It's like they don't have any heartbeat. They should not have any blood. So that created this whole, their heart beats every 6 hours. They get clotted blood and all this stuff. So that kind of, it kind of snowballed from there. But in original mythology, they didn't mind the sun. They were just shadow creatures that didn't destroy them. You can't stake them. In original mythology, it just pinned them to the coffin, which kept them hopefully from rising. And they didn't have to be invited in. The only trope they had back in the day was they believed that they couldn't be seen in mirrors, not because a mirror. It's they would say that the mirror was made from silver back in the day, so it couldn't reflect them. But okay, I'm not buying that because I'm sorry, we have rocks without souls, and you can see a rock in a mirror. So I always hated that trope of you can't see them in the mirror. So we played on mythology and kind of created our own thing. And eventually I do want to do a whole, you know, side story on Clodders, because I think they're fascinatingly evil. So I did enjoy that in this one. They went on a, you know, they had to hunt down all these Clodders because, you know, she got, they tasted her blood and then she wound up killing one. So now, of course, they had to go track them all down. And six, which is the last issue, it was them stalking the Clodders and trying to take down the nest, because if they let any survive, they'll just come out, you know, back and get them later. So it was a cool little side story going on there.
So let's quickly talk about, because as we're recording here, there is a campaign for that is about to finish, but you're going to be releasing a new one when this episode goes live.
Yeah, October
3rd. I want to go ahead and talk about what people can expect to receive as rewards, the different tiers and all that.
Sure.
Once it goes live.
So, issue 7. Now, I have been called the queen of merch. So, there is a ton of merch. I'm sure there's other campaigns with a ton of merch, but I am way more obsessed with my story than the normal person. So there's a ton of add-ons. There are plushies, both for Anubis, the skeleton birds. I believe the zombie mermen are sold out, but we should have a plushie of the hellhound, which is being shipped today, so we should have it. I don't post anything on my campaign unless I have it in hand. I don't like people to have to worry about it, so I always know what everything's there and whatever. We have gold-plated coins of Anubis. We have clay statues of Anubis and the characters and the zombie merman, and there's a skeleton bird. I don't know if I'm putting up for sale. I love the skeleton bird, so I only had one made, and I'm very hesitant to sell it. But I do love it, and I might have to list it. But I've been stalling for like 3 campaigns, so we'll see. But we also have you know, magnets and pins, shirts, hoodies. Trying to think of a wood. We have wood carvings. It's a wood engraving of some of the covers. We have metal covers. Let's see, metal trading cards, metal bookmarks. We love metal. And we have a coloring book of variant covers, both digitally or printed. Let's see. I'm trying to think because I have so many, but I don't post them all the time because there would be a ton. And 3D statues. We have, depending if the black one sells in the last campaign, we will have three to four different 3D statues of Anubis. He's the most popular guy. So he sells very well. We also have hats. Pretty much anything you can think of. And if there isn't something, you can just tell me and I can guarantee you I'm probably going to get it. I am looking into temporary tattoos because somebody asked for them and now I kind of want them. So maybe we'll have temporary tattoos by then. So
Anubis does look pretty, pretty cool. I like
is awesome. Looking at the, yeah, Anubis is awesome.
the skeleton bird is, I like the skeleton bird too.
Oh yeah. No one can see it, but I don't know if you can see it. This is our skeleton.
Oh yeah.
So he got sold and then I had promptly bought 2 more. I don't usually make more, but he sold so fast. I was like, well, I love him. I have one of each. Everyone asks me why I have so much merch. The reason is because I wanted it and now it's tax deductible. So win-win for everybody. But yeah, we also have, which again, no one can really see, but we have an embroidered bookmark, which is huge.
Oh, nice.
But that's how she made it, and I do love the way it looks, so we're probably be listing that one. And then, like I said, we have the engravings that we'll have. So yeah, we have a lot. a Lego Anubis. So, yeah, we have, I shouldn't say this. I have a Lego of each character, Serafina and Draven. They look a little creepy. So I think they're cute, but they are a little creepy. I think it's the shine. Like, they're actually, like, constructed. You know, they're not the yellow face plastic. They're actually constructed to look like them. And they did a phenomenal job, don't get me wrong. It just looks a little creepy on a Lego. So, I mean, it's unique. So I just kept them for myself. So,
So what are the different tiers that people can
back? A little different than some people do on their campaign, and I don't know why they don't do this, but we actually offer issue one. Like, you do not have to get a catch-up tier to get our comic. That always bothered me, especially with 7 issues. I mean, fortunately, I'm very blessed that people do buy this catch-up tier of 7 issues, which is amazing, and I feel totally blessed for that. However, for the one that just doesn't want to risk it, you know, you never know. It's your money. I totally understand. We have issue one as a PDF. We have issue one as a print. You're welcome to get that tier and just that. We do have all the variants and back issues in add-ons. So let's say you just want 1 and 2 because Anubis isn't 2 and everyone wants 2. You can get 1 and 2, both PDF and printed. Then we also have a mini catch-up tier, which is 1 through 3. It's $25. It comes with some goodies and buttons and stuff. Then we have the major catch-up tier, which is 1 through 7. That's $65, and that comes with a bunch of extra stuff like buttons and pins and trading cards and prints and all that fun stuff. And I think and the keychain. And then we have a mega metal heavy metal lovers tier of 1 through 7, all in metal covers. So we have those, and in the add-ons we have a couple of metal covers, not all of them. We have 4, 5, 6, and 7. So if you just want to buy the metal cover, it'll be there. And let's see, we have the statue tiers, the plushie tiers, the 3D statue tiers, and you can get all 3 covers, or you can get just issue 6. There's 3 covers. There's the regular cover, then there's the variant A, which is an angel and demon fighting in the sky. And then there's a third variant, B. Now, this one's tricky because it's going to confuse people. There are B and C look identical, but they're artistic scratches, you know, added to one of them. And it sounds like a super simple thing, just pick one and go on, you know? However, I posted a poll, both in Twitter, which, at @worthy_chaos, anyone that's interested, we have 5,400 followers. So I posted it on there, and then I posted it to my 5,000 followers on Facebook, and they were so split down the middle, it was almost political. Like, they were like, and they had, they weren't just like, oh, scratches, not scratches. They had reasons. You know, and it was like, they were so convincing, but on both sides. Like, one had, like, a whole novel of why it shouldn't have scratches. And then the next person would write a whole novel of why you should have scratches. So, you have your choice. it made it very complicated to me, and I didn't want to do both, but here we are. In the all covers tier, it's going to be only 3 covers, and I'll have to choose scratches or no scratches. And then in the metal tier, it's only the no scratches available. But that's because I asked my regulars which ones they wanted for the metal tier, because they always get metal tiers, and they all selected the no scratches. So sorry, but, yeah, most really like the scratches, but just when I think scratches are going to win, like 5 people come out for the no scratches. I like the no scratches. Sorry. It's crisp and the color is so beautiful, but I get it. The scratches make it, you know, as some pointed out, it's a horror story and it's, you know, violent and, you know, all this stuff. So, yeah, there's a war going on. I started a war, a debate in my social media. But it's a fun kind of debate. They're, at least nobody's, like, you know, destroying each other. It's just funny how adamant some of them are. You know, oh, this is this kind of story. You need to have scratches. And they're like, well, this is this kind of story, so you shouldn't have scratches. And I was like, really, people? So, yeah. So we have 2 covers. They look alike. They're not exactly the same. So, you know, pick your poison.
I'm looking at the, like I said, I'm looking at the campaign for the 1 through 6 right now, or the 6, I guess. Mm-hmm. And there is a black and white, I guess you have it as the PDF version of the
yeah,
so of that cover or coloring book, I guess.
Black and white for the, well, there's a black and white coloring book. But for every tier, there's a black and white and a color version of the PDF. So if you were to buy $5 for the issue one, it's both black and white and color. Every single tier has a PDF. You do not have to buy a PDF separate. I don't think a lot of people understand that, but, and a lot of people, like creators, don't do that. You buy one or the other, but I figure you might as well have both. Like, why not? So you get both. So when you buy a ketchup tier for the PDFs, it's $20 and you're getting 14 PDFs because you're getting 7 in black and white and 7 in color. And our, ketchup tier, our stretch goals are always PDFs, for the first one. So generally, which we usually hit, hopefully this, I don't want to jinx it. We usually hit it really fast. If we pass that, then you also get like those 24 PDFs. And so you, for $5, you can get, you know, 24, issue ones from other creators and our issue one. So it's definitely worth, the $5. If you don't like my story, you're going to like one of the 24 cause they're all amazing. They're all around the same genre. They're worth way more than my $5 PDFs. But yeah, it's my favorite stretch goal. And, I've been told you have too many. What happens is every single campaign, I add 4 more so that a returning backer gets 4 new ones and a new backer gets like now 24. So, I try to keep it interesting. It gets my friends and fellow creators, you know, issues out there. So people know them. Most of them have, you know, live, campaigns now also. So if you like one of those, they probably have them, you know, out and about so you can get them or you can pick up them at their websites or whatever. By the way, our website is, worthycastcomics.com. However, I have people buy from there, but Kickstarter is always better. Because you get same price and you get goodies with it. Also, we have a Kickstarter almost every other month. The only month we skip is January and, December, sorry. And we may or may not skip it this time. We are working on the hardcover. It's already done. Issue 7's already done. Issue 8, by the time this is recorded, it'll probably be done. I think we just sketched out all the pages. So all he has to do is ink and color. Yeah, we're pretty fast. So we have issue 7 now during this recording. And we have issue 8, which is technically book 2, chapter 1. And that'll be January 23rd. And then it'll be every other month from there. So we do release them very fast. So, yeah. So while we're talking and recording this, issue 6 is live. That ends in 2 days. Issue 7 starts October 3rd and goes to Halloween. So it's only 3 weeks after this one ends.
Okay.
Yeah. And then between Halloween and January 23rd, I'm probably going to release the hardcover, but I can't say that because I refuse to say anything until I have it in hand. So once I get it, we'll decide when I'll post it.
So usually once the campaign ends, how long is it for copies to go out?
On average, 5 to 10 days.
So, oh, wow.
I don't even get paid from Kickstarter before I send them. The last one ended Monday at 4 p.m. I ordered by 5 p.m. I got my books by Friday, and I mailed them all out on Saturday. So that's going to be pretty much the same now. I might even add them a little bit early. I pay extra to have them shipped within be printed and shipped within 2 to 6 days. So I pay extra for that because I don't want my clients or fans to wait. I'm an impatient person, so I don't want anyone else have to wait. But also I get, you know, I like sending them out, and there's a couple of reasons. Also, my Kickstarter is 3 weeks away, so for new people I have to get the books out to them so they can read it and see if they like it so they can go for the next one. So
that makes sense. Yeah, no, that's better. Super fast. Yeah.
yeah no waiting here. I know people that have had to wait like a year for their books, and that's why I said I don't even post. I have where is it? I actually have issue 6 already printed. I don't print the variants or enough for everyone because You know, I don't know how many people are going to be. With my luck, I do just enough and then miss one and have to go do a whole shipment. But generally, they're already, so I actually send some out right when it ends, right when the payments go through. Generally, the catch-up tiers go out first. So, and I start packing before it even ends. They're all packed and wrapped and gift wrapped and everything and sent. So it's all good.
I think from the current ones that you have right now, the other covers, mm-hmm. the Chapter 4 Anubis cover is probably my favorite.
Yeah, that's actually DC artist Ken Hunt. He worked on Batman, wow. Harley Quinn, Superman for about 10 years. And it was colored by the current colorist for Lady Death Universe, CC De La Cruz. And they actually also did my hardcover cover.
Nice.
Well, that's gonna look awesome. That Anubis will be the back cover of that, because why not?
You know, it looks awesome.
It's phenomenal, right? Yeah. It's our most popular cover. He was one of the most expensive. Oh, well, them together was the most expensive. And it made it back in, like, folds. Like, it just... People just love that cover. That's why we have the wood carvings of both his covers. We have metal trading cards with both of those covers. We have shirts with them on it. I mean, it's an awesome. I got really lucky with him doing that. And his got the most likes of any post he's ever had that I'm aware of. I went all the way down over a year, and he gets a lot of likes. He usually gets around 300, and this one, as of like 2 months ago, had 600, 700. And mine, which, I mean, I'm not that... No one really knows who I am. Mine got 600 likes, and I've never had that happen before. So it was pretty cool. So I was excited. Very, very lucky to get that. And I have the original, but I'm a nice person, and I gave it to my co-writer, which she keeps saying, you can take it back at any time. I was like, no, it's yours. I have the second one, so you have the first one. She loved this one. The second she saw it, she was like... I thought she was going to, like, have a heart attack. She's like, that is amazing. Yeah.
So, have we missed or gone over, jumped over anything that you wanted to talk about?
No, I think we did it all. Yeah.
Well, the plan is for this episode to go out on October 3rd, so that it is live with the Perfect. With the project. And so, yeah, I will make sure to send the or put the link in the description so that people can go over there. Perfect. And. If you provide me all the links, I will be more than happy to put them in the description. That way our listeners can check them out.
I will definitely do that.
I think people are going to, it looks like they already enjoy it, but I think, people are going to enjoy that they're getting the books so quickly. That is the fastest I've heard, from these Kickstarters. I've actually waited about a year and a half for something to finish, and usually that's these bigger 100 and some page that they're only like 30 pages in, and when they do the Kickstarter they just need funding for the rest of it.
Yeah,
so it's a big plus for your fans.
Well, you know what it is, I'm really trying to build readership and loyal people, because this is a long series. I need them to stick around. So definitely
the good thing is that I feel like on the comic side of Kickstarter, there's not a lot of what's it called, at least of the people that I've talked to and the people of the fans that I've talked to, mm-hmm. there's not a lot of the ones that where I paid this and I didn't get what I asked for.
Yeah.
At least on the comic side. I know the other parts of Kickstarter you might run into people that don't deliver. But the good thing is I think people are starting to realize that Kickstarter, for at least for the comic book side, you're normally going to get what you ask for.
Yeah.
Even if it's a little bit later.
Yeah, it makes me nervous, because when you go, and I understand why people might have and get nervous, because when you hit the pledge button, it says, oh, you're not guaranteed these. And I'm just like, how can you not be guaranteed these? Mm-hmm. But fortunately, like I said, with mine, you're guaranteed it, because you're going to get them. So, yeah.
No, that's really, really good. And I will make sure to put those links. That way we can go over there. And I want to thank you. Thank you very much for joining me this morning to talk about your project. And thank you for once again for reaching out.
Yeah.
And
I appreciate it. Yeah, we're on our way to our horror con right after this.
Oh, nice, nice, yeah. Nice.
Gatlinburg.
Do you want to give a shout out real quick to which one that one the one is?
It is the Smoky Mountain Horror Con. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us here this week, and let us know when you go out there, and let us know if you actually how much you pledge and how much you like the story.
Great.
Okay. We'll see you guys next time here on Under from the Crypt.
It's your turn to be afraid. Are you a fan of things that go bump in the night? Chills up your spine, paralyzed by fright, thrilled by horror at the center of a chat. Then welcome to the Nerds from the Crypt podcast.